Last time this gentleman was on my show, we were talking about his DVD, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You. And on my show, I guess it's been probably over a year. And so on the show, and then also in the DVD, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You, my guest warns that the Gulf Stream was at risk of stopping. Well, sure enough, it appears that the Gulf Stream has, in fact, stopped. So what does that mean? What does it mean for us all? Is this something that we need to be paying attention to? Well, John Moore certainly thinks so. He's known as the Liberty Man and has his program on the Republic Broadcasting Network. He's a former Green Beret, and we're happy to have him back on The Conspiracy Show. John, how are you?
Richard, good to be here. Thank you very much.
All right, take us back to March 2008. Again, the DVD, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You. And again, the premise was that the whole global warming issue is a cover story.
Correct.
It's something a little more perhaps palatable for the public to consume. But the idea is that it's hiding from us a far more sinister, a cataclysmic event that's coming our way, and that it's imminent. So what is this Gulf Stream? How does this Gulf Stream impact on all this?
It's good to begin. You know, just like in good journalism, it's good to assume your audience doesn't know, have a clue what you're talking about. That's a good beginning point, Richard. The Gulf Stream was given its name by Benjamin Franklin back in the late 18th century. It's warm water that comes out of the Gulf of Mexico and the Caribbean, goes up the east coast of Florida, past Georgia and South Carolina, and when it gets to Cape Hatteras, North Carolina, starts going east. Up until June 12th of last year, it continued east, where it warmed up England, Ireland, Scotland, split, with some going south and warming up Western Europe and the rest going north and warming up Scandinavia. June 12th last year, it quit. It stopped. Now, this is something that will affect all of us the rest of our lives. Up until I met Dr. Zangari, the PhD scientist from Italy, who's spent the last 10 years doing nothing but studying the Gulf Stream, I had no idea how important it was. I thought the Gulf Stream affected the weather on the east coast of the United States and the United Kingdom, Europe, and Scandinavia. Here's a quote from Dr. Zangari. The Gulf Stream is the pacemaker of the climate of the planet. And here's the deal. That water, being as large as it is, and with the temperature differentiation, it affected and was a regulator of the jet stream, the 200-mile-an-hour winds, 5 or 6 miles high above the surface of the Earth. The jet stream, of course, has a large impact on weather as well all over the Northern Hemisphere. Now that the Gulf Stream has stopped, the jet stream is doing very bizarre and strange things that we've never seen it do before, affecting temperatures and precipitation all over the Northern Hemisphere in very unpredictable ways that we've never seen in the past. The bottom line for all of us, Richard, it's going to have an adverse, and already is, having an adverse impact on agriculture. You may have noted that this past fall, Russia refused to honor grain futures contracts that they'd signed to deliver grain, and Ukraine did the same thing. It's not quite, but almost an act of war to do that, by the way. Very serious stuff. We're seeing in the Midwest United States a severe drought that's affecting winter wheat right now. In Australia, because this is a worldwide event, half of Australia is under 10 to 30 feet of water, and the other half is having the worst drought they've ever seen. And we're just at the beginning of this, Richard, just at the beginning of very severe impact on food and food production. If you go to the Chicago Board of Trades and look at futures prices for grains, you'll see they're going up dramatically just about every day. And we're going to see this at the supermarket. In the West, here in the United States and Canada, we'll see increased food prices, same thing in Western Europe. In third world countries, these increased prices, like in Tunisia, have already led to riots. and the toppling of the government. And the third world is going to take a much bigger hit than Western world and United States and Canada, although things will get much worse for us, and it could cause our fragile economy to collapse when people discontinue their discretionary spending on sporting events, vacations, going out to restaurants, because they simply have to buy food and very expensive gasoline. So that's where we are, Richard. It's not a good place to be, is it?
No. I mean, we're used to, though, at this point, observing strange weather patterns, because we've been told that, you know, it's cyclical, and you know, we had this freak snowstorm in the UK, and you mentioned here in your press release that Charles de Gaulle Airport had to be closed a few weeks ago because
right.
the snow load on the roof of the main terminal was about to
right.
collapse the roof. You know, these things tend to wash over our consciousness now because we're so used to these strange weather stories. But what would cause the Gulf Stream just to stop? Do we know?
Okay, well, that's a great question. I wrote about this in my paper I wrote, No Need for Panic, which was originally published in January 2006. The scientists were telling us then that fresh water was reducing the salinity. Fresh water from melting ice in Greenland and the Antarctic was reducing the salinity of all the oceans. And it was the salt content of the ocean that was the engine that drove this massive body of water. The Gulf Stream was larger than all the world's major rivers put together. Just a massive body of water flowing from the Caribbean up to the United Kingdom and so forth. So it was melting freshwater ice that caused us to become very weak and very fragile. Fast forward to the spring of 2010, and we had the British Petroleum oil spill. Now, there's university-level experiments, Richard, where they take a clear tank about 8 by 8 feet, maybe 100 feet long, and it's full of fairly cold water, maybe 45, 50-degree water, and they introduce fairly warm water at 75, 80 degrees at the other end, and it will move right through that cold water because of the thermal barrier that develops between the cold and the warm water.
That's replicating what the Gulf Stream does.
Yes, sir. And when you introduce oil into the mix, the thermal barrier between the warm water and the cold water breaks down, and the stream breaks down. So there's some evidence based on these scientific experiments that the Gulf Stream oil spill broke an already very much fragile and very much at risk Gulf Stream and caused it to stop.
But you were predicting this in your DVD back in 2008. Obviously, you weren't foreseeing the BP oil disaster.
No, sir. The scientists in 2005, the scientists were saying the following. The Gulf Stream is losing mass and velocity. It's lost 35% of its mass and velocity. It's losing more every year. They were predicting 5 to 20 years in the future it would stop. Now, what the British Petroleum oil spill did was cause something to happen that may not have happened for another number of years, maybe as many as 15 years. But it broke. It was a straw that broke the camel's back of a very much at-risk, very fragile Gulf Stream already from the reduced salinity of the oceans due to melting freshwater ice from Greenland and the Antarctic. Keeping in mind that the melting ice in the polar ice in the North Pole is floating sea water, so it didn't change the salinity or the ocean levels, either one.
John Moore with the Republic Broadcast Network, the Liberty Man, he's known as, and also the producer of the DVD Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You, here to tell us that the Gulf Stream has stopped and the cataclysmic events that may follow. What's the worst-case scenario? I mean, how long is the Gulf Stream going to be in park? And walk us through, you know, the next 5, 10, 15 years.
You're right. You're asking a great question here, Richard. I'll give you my flippant, not-so-funny answer, and then I'll give you the factual scientific answer. The flippant, not-so-funny answer is we should park some aircraft carriers at anchor with the screws facing towards the United Kingdom and get them going. There's no man-made way to start the Gulf Stream. According to Dr. Zangari, the PhD scientist in Italy, he doesn't believe it will restart. That's his belief based on his 10-year working with the Gulf Stream and analyzing all the data. This has not happened in recorded human history, Richard. So we're really in uncharted territory here. It would be really dandy if it did start. But the two possible scenarios we're looking at right now, one is a mini ice age that lasts 3 to 10 years. This happened, by the way, in the 1780s and was probably responsible for the French Revolution, among other things. The other would be a full-blown ice age that goes on for many decades, possibly for centuries. That's the two possibilities we're aware of, and the possibility of going back to moderate winters in the United Kingdom, where, and this is true, in Ireland, people have their water pipes on the outside of the house. I mean,
sure. I mean, yeah, they heat their homes with these little, they burn peat in their little fireplaces, and it's damp and it's cold, but nothing like what it...
No, a nice warm woolly sweater, you're good to go, yeah.
All right, it's pretty bleak is what you're saying. We'll delve further into the Gulf Stream. It stopped, folks. My question, well, I'll get to this, I guess, when we come back. I'll ask John Moore, but why isn't this front page news, New York Times, like, D-Day invasion. This is cataclysmic. Back with more of The Conspiracy Show. Stay with us.
Poking holes in the darkness. The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio, AM 740. To see the light, call Richard now at 416-360-0740. Or toll-free in Ontario at 1-866-740-4740.
So, John Moore, I'll ask you that question. Why isn't, given the seriousness of the situation, the Gulf Stream has stopped, never before in history, why isn't this front-page news? Why isn't this in the news cycle each and every day? Why isn't Anderson Cooper going on about this? Well, why?
Okay, here's why. Unlike myself, when I was in high school, I was rather be on the football field than paying attention to science. Way too many millions of people, Richard, understand the significance of what this means. They paid attention in science in high school and college. They know about these matters, and they know the significance and how important this would be if, in fact, they became aware of it. Now, what the government's concerned about is not a panic. Here's what the government's concerned about. Half the jobs in this country are provided by small business, 2 to 3 to 100 employees, small business. Many of those business owners are financially independent. They do it, they're running their business because they love it and they got to do something. Many of whom could lock the door and say, I'm out of here. I'm going to someplace safe like the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks, which the Navy has designated as a safe haven. That's what the government's concerned about. That's what they don't want to happen. That's why they're keeping it quiet. Although it's amazing, if you read my paper at my website, Richard, the Gulf Stream has stopped. The verifiable mainstream scientific sources, like the United States Navy website, is right there to look at. And anybody can do this. Go to the U.S. Navy website, look at the ocean temperatures. They update their map every 24 hours, and you can see for yourself in a mainstream, scientific, verifiable source that the Gulf Stream has, in fact, stopped. So, no, Richard, they're not going to make this public. They're going so far as to admit that the jet stream is doing bizarre, strange things. They'll go that far, but they won't say why the jet stream is doing the strange things it's doing. In fact, I haven't looked it up yet, but they've even given a new name for this jet stream behavior to help people understand it a little bit. They don't want people to have the full truth. They want this jet stream to be an anomaly, something that will return to normal. They want people to believe that, and so far they've been quite successful.
The DVD about global warming and the government was
DVD set.
Okay.
The second disc is now in the set. I just finished the final taping of it just a few weeks ago, and it's a two DVD set at my website, thelibertyman.com.
So explain then again, as you did the last time you were on the show, why this man-made global warming story has been floated in the public consciousness. What do they
want? They want things to be normal. The powers that be rely on UPS and FedEx just like you and I do for spare parts and supplies. They want things to be normal as long as possible, Richard. And they want they don't want martial law. They're not looking forward to martial law because that screws them up as much as it screws us up.
So in other words, they need to come up with a cover story to explain why all these weird weather patterns, but they want it done in such a way as not to to panic people. Or I mean, global warming is causing enough of a panic, but at least they're saying, well, you know, in 50 years something might happen.
Well, in fact, you hit the nail right on the head. Al Gore's film, An Inconvenient Truth, what the message he's putting out is directly from NASA. He didn't dream this up himself. What they say is that in the middle of the century, 2050, that's when we need to worry about violent climate change and violently rising ocean levels, halfway, you know, through the century. They want to deflect people so far into the future that they won't pay attention to it. And I have to admit, Richard, they've been quite successful so far.
But this isn't a man-made problem, or is it? I mean, it's been exacerbated, but...
It's the British Petroleum oil spill is obviously a man-made problem on one hand. On the other, it caused something to happen a few years sooner than it would have otherwise. And people ask me, they say, John, did they do this intentionally? And as a homicide detective, you know, I live in the world of evidence. I don't have any evidence of it. And I don't know why they would do that intentionally. It would be pretty strange to do something that bizarre and dangerous to the planet with intent. I mean, it truly would be.
There's no
evidence of it.
When you started following this trail that there was something going on, you were noticing that some of these U.S. federal agencies were bugging out and seeking higher ground. Isn't that how you sort of got into this?
Well, that was later on. Initially, I was having lunch with a friend of mine. We served in the Army together. He got out of the Army and went in the Navy and was in the Navy Submarine Corps. And he was the first of about two dozen submarine veterans I've interviewed who were at classified briefings beginning in 1979 about violently rising ocean levels and abrupt climate change. So the Navy veterans were the source of the map that's on my DVD showing new coastlines. And the source of much of what I do, they talk to me in confidence. I maintain that confidence. On my new DVD, one of them has agreed to go public, Mr. Tim Spencer, because he was radiated and suffering from radiation poisoning and gets disability. They can't take that away from him. The rest of these men have a pension that would be at risk if they went public. But Mr. Tim Spencer is on my new DVD, part of the two DVD set, giving testimony in person. On the DVD about seeing the map when he was in New Orleans doing classified work for the U.S. Navy.
If we are heading into an ice age, you mentioned two scenarios. One, it could be a mini ice age, 3 to 10 years, like the one we had in the late 18th century. I believe that was when the canals in Venice froze over. Or it could be a protracted one lasting perhaps centuries. What's your best information if you were...
The best information is at the NASA Goddard Space Flight Institute, but they're not talking. When I'm on the witness stand and a lawyer gets me cornered, I would say, well, sir, do you want me to give my sworn speculation?
Yes, okay.
So here's my sworn speculation. The next 3 years, what we'll be looking for will be, does it get warm in the summertime? Are we seeing the snow and the ice remain on the ground a week or two longer each summer? Now, if that starts happening, and we'll know in the spring of 2010, if that starts happening, we're at least into a mini ice age. And if that continues for three more years, to the point where the River Thames is frozen over in London, which it hasn't been for more than two centuries, then we're well into a mini ice age. If that goes on, and even then we may not know for another 7 or 10 years if it's going to be a mini ice age, or if these glaciers start to grow and get bigger, if the other signs of a full-blown ice age are coming upon us, it may take another 7 or 10 years before we even know that.
All right, let's go to the phones. John is in New Jersey. Good morning, John. Welcome to the Conspiracy Show.
Yes, good morning, Richard. Thank you for taking my call. Mr. John Moore, I just purchased your DVD, Global Warming, and I remember what you said about a large number of military retirees moving to the Ozarks.
Yes, sir.
These past 2 weeks, the Ozarks were in the news again, and it caught my ear in the large number of thousands of number of bird deaths and fish deaths that happened there. Is there any connection at all?
Well, there's a lot of speculation about, and it's not, of course, not just the Ozarks. What we've had in the past 3 weeks, John, is bird kills and fish kills and animal kills that typically would happen over 3 to 4 years in a very compact period of time. The first big ones were at the southern end of the Ozarks in northern Arkansas. And right now, all we can do is speculate as to the many. There's about three possible reasons. I want to point to HARP, which is a possibility. I want to point to poisonous gases coming up due to seismic activity or volcanism, or point to the magnetic field of the planet changing. And most of the birds and animals dying have been the kind that stay in flocks and schools and herds as opposed to independent animals. So there's some bit of truth to all the theories, and so far we're lacking evidence.
Thanks for the call, John, in New Jersey. Well, magnetic north is drifting something like 25 kilometers a year.
Speed
in fact,
it up. Yes,
they just closed Tampa Bay's airport. They had to realign runways and signage to account for that. And
so is
there a relationship between the Gulf Stream stopping, the jet stream activity, and magnetic north drifting?
Not that I'm aware of, Richard. Not that I'm aware of. In the general sense of Earth changes, they're connected, but there's no cause and effect from one to the other that I'm aware of.
What other federal agencies have you heard? You mentioned the U.S.
Plum Island.
Plum Island is moving, yes.
Yeah. Now, Richard, if you and I were going to study really fun stuff like foot and mouth disease and anthrax, wouldn't we put it on a 200-acre island off the coast of New York? Of course we would. That's what they did 50 years ago. Now they say they've run out of space. You look at Google Images and see the aerial photograph of Plum Island, it looks like a massive golf course with a few buildings.
Hmm.
They haven't run out of space, but where are they moving it to? The worst possible place you can think of, Kansas.
Right in the breadbasket.
Yeah, the most productive agricultural real estate on the planet, Kansas. What an idiotic thing to do. But they're doing it because they have no choice. Plum Island's going to be underwater. Of course they're moving it.
Any other U.S. Is there a continuing?
EPA libraries, plural, three libraries that have the largest English language collection of scientific articles and books on the planet that deal with the things these scientists need to keep us safe. 3 years ago, they shut all three libraries down, allegedly for cost savings. The General Accountability Office says, no, gentlemen, it costs more to shut these libraries down to keep them open, and their own scientists. Now, Richard, you know, if you file a complaint against your boss, it's like suing your employer. And that's what they did. These scientists, they filed grievances against their employers, the EPA, saying, gentlemen, we can't do our job. You've cut us off from the basic research material to keep America safe.
Hmm.
How about the library at Manchester, England, a million book collection? They are shutting down the library for renovation, and this is public record, by the way. They're moving all those million books to mine shafts in England.
To mine shafts?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Sheldon is in Tucson, Arizona. Sheldon, welcome to the Conspiracy Show.
Well, good evening, Richard.
Hey, hello, Sheldon.
Hi there.
Hey, I'm actually a friend of John Moore's. John, could you tell the audience what me and you know that is causing these Earth changes? Me and you know it's Planet X behind it. Could you elaborate on that?
Well, there's a planetary body moving into our solar system, also called the 10th planet, which is interacting with our planet. And it's not only responsible for these things with the oceans, but seismic activity, volcanism, and so forth. And that's the root cause of all these things.
How do they keep thanks for the call in Tucson,
Sheldon.
How do they keep something like that quiet, given the number of amateur astronomers that are out there? How can they hide something like that if Planet X is coming this way?
Well, the Planet X is visible in the infrared light spectrum, which most amateurs don't have that kind of equipment, and you have to be in the extreme southern hemisphere, typically in either extreme southern Australia or the South Pole or extreme southern Africa, and have the right kind of equipment. I think before long, Richard, amateur with good equipment will be able to see it a little bit farther north as it gets deeper into our solar system and comes up closer to where we can see it actually at the equator, even the northern hemisphere. By the time we can see it from the northern hemisphere, these events will be a lot more violent, a lot more frequent, volcanism, seismic activity, and really bizarre weather-related events. And we're already seeing that speed up. The number of earthquakes, 4.0 and larger, is becoming quite significant. Volcanoes are popping their corks all over the planet, with new volcanoes, by the way, coming up. And we will see this activity continue to become more frequent and more violent all over the planet. Now, Richard, I know I got just a couple minutes here. Can I put up my toll-free 800 number?
Yes, please.
That's 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. And my new DVD, two DVD set, is Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You.
All right, John, thanks for this update on the Gulf Stream. We'll have
You're welcome, Richard. I'll be in touch. This is important. We need to get the word out.
We'll have you back on in the coming weeks, and we'll do a longer segment.
Thank you, sir.
All right, okay. John Moore, the Liberty Man,
nice.
Republic Broadcast Network. When we come back, media scientist Nelson Thal weighs in on this. My gosh, there were tens of thousands of mourners, men and women in uniform, dignitaries, civilians, paying a tribute to the slain Toronto police officer, Sergeant Ryan Russell, last week, and obviously a tragedy. Many are thinking, though, slightly overdone. And Nelson Thal has his theories as to what's really going on. I'm back with more of The Conspiracy Show here on Zoomer Radio AM 740.
Fasten your seatbelt and put your tray in the upright position. You're about to leave everything you know behind on The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio AM 740.
Men, are you thinking about